I've got a curve that I'm going to throw you. As we close out today, we're not going to sing a song, but as we have our final prayer and say amen, I'd like you to play Silent Night, just instrumentally. Can you do that? I don't know what number it is, and I won't be singing it. So just get ready and we'll do it, okay? Thank you. The reason we're going to do that, we're get back up to the microphone here. We're kind of saying goodbye to the Christmas season and hello to the New Year's, right? If Dan were here, he would say, now this is the beginning of a new year. And in this new year, you need to look into your word, God's word, and read it, right? Isn't that what he would say? Okay, so I don't have to say it, right? It's a good admonition. It's time for announcements, and I do know of two anyway. One is Second Sunday is coming. I believe we'll be having potluck that day, 2 weeks from today. We also have a Creation Moments on the back table. Now, some of you may wonder why we even do Creation Moments every week. Hi. The reason we do that is because this is God's world, just as some of the verses that we went over in the first hour. We picked favorite Bible verses, as a matter of fact. We've never done that before here, but we went around the room, and there's some really good verses that were picked out there. But it is God's world. He's made it, he sustains it, and he will bring it to an end in his own time. Creation Moments is just an indication that it is both verifiable by faith and by science. Creation Moments talks about the science side of these things. There was a paragraph that Beth pointed out to me from the organization that does Creation Moments, and here's what they said. As biblical creationists know, the Bible not only gives us accurate earth history and human history, but it also gives us plenty of history in advance. For example, biblical prophecy has included the prediction of the development and domination of evolution theory by a willfully corrupt mankind. It speaks of our replacement of the creator with the creature. Remember Romans chapter 1, people will worship the creature rather than the creator? Well, that's predominant in a lot of circles. In the Christian worldview, though, it's a matter of understanding that we're not the creators of the world, we're the creatures within the world, and it's God's will that we follow. It's as simple as that. The one this week is about dinosaurs. If you've ever wondered anything about dinosaurs, they were real, they were here. God created them as well. But pick up a book, or it's not a book, a page on the back table, and you can read a little something about that. There are whole organizations that deal with what's called creation evangelism by looking at science and what God has put in place and understanding that there is a God and that we should follow him. So that's why we do it. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you why we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about today by looking at a scripture, and that's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And for many of you, you know this is called the Great Commission, but here's the way it reads specifically. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, this is his disciples, spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, if he's with us to the end of the age, where is he right now? He's with us. God sees everything we do. He knows everything we think. We think. And he's with us right now. There are many, many, many different ways that we can fulfill that Great Commission by going into the world and teaching them what he's taught us. The essence of the gospel is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, there's a lot more to it. There's 66 chapters, books in the Bible, but that, when it comes down to how do you apply those things to you yourself, that's how it works. It's not rocket science. It's simple enough that even I can understand it to that level. And that's one of the things that Samaritan's Purse tries to do with each of the branches of their ministry. I'm going to look at three different things having to do with Samaritan's Purse this morning. It's the organization which is behind the Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes that we process, that we prepare and process. Lori's done a wonderful job. I wish she could be here today. Can't, but give her our thanks anyway for her part in that. The shoeboxes, I've always said, is kind of like fixing a Christmas dinner. It takes a week to prepare it, 30 minutes to eat it, and then a week to clean it up. And Lori does a lot of the preparation. Debbie Mitchell a lot of times does the cleanup. And we get the pleasure of partaking in the 30 minutes of putting it together. But Beth and I, for years, have been able to go to North Carolina and have been part of the processing step of this. The reason I'm standing up here is not because I look down at you. It's because the cord is short. And I need to have the cord plugged in order to show you some of the things that we've got. So, Alan, if you think we've got sound now, the reason I'm going to start with this is because, really, our experience came in three steps. First was just getting to Boone, North Carolina, to be part of it, and this will show you why. The second part of our trip was actually being there to process the shoe boxes, and I'll tell you about that. And then the third step was meeting with a group that's part of Samaritan's Purse but has nothing to do with shoeboxes. It's called the Children's Heart Project, and I'll describe that too. So those are the three parts of the presentation this morning. So right now, through the magic of I don't know how it works, yeah, you've got some stuff showing up there. And I'm going to do that one, going to do that one. And here's my file. Okay. Whoa.
The creek behind us just rose higher than it's ever come up before. It was rushing water.
Houses above us were taken off the foundations. I've been here for over 50 years, but this was quite devastating.
Our neighbors have a 10-day-old newborn. We were able to hold them up over our heads and passed all the children down, got them in the vehicle so we could evacuate. As we were driving out, we saw trees coming down, just praying that we could go through with our vehicles and get up to safety.
When this hurricane hit, Samaritan's Purse already began posturing equipment, and we were getting ready, but we weren't quite sure it was going to hit here in Boone, North Carolina, our hometown. This is personal to Samaritan's Purse because we have lost so much here. As I look around, we've got a lot of loss. We've got a lot of destruction. People that have lost everything. The most important thing we do is to love our neighbor in the name of Jesus Christ and to bring hope where they may not have any hope.
When I saw those orange shirts coming to the property, I really hadn't cried until I saw them step off that truck. The love and the compassion, the care and the concern with everything they did was just amazing. I've never experienced God's love like that.
You never think that a disaster is going to happen in your area. And to be able to have them accept help from friends and coworkers in a crisis like this has just been one of the most amazing blessings. Just to be able to serve one another and love each other through that service.
It's really hard to put into words even what it means to have the family of Samaritan's Purse rally around us right now. I express the deepest thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you guys showed up in the middle of one of the hardest things we've ever gone through and that you love us so well with the love of Jesus. That's what you brought. And, you know, we're not even crying because of what we lost, but as my mother-in-law says, we're crying because love showed up.
You all are literally God's love that showed up on our property. So I thank you all from the bottom. Like never before, Samaritan's Purse has shown the face, the hands, and the feet of Jesus. And you can't put a price on that. There's no way to say thank you enough. It was truly amazing.
Okay, Hurricane Helene. is what they're talking about there. You probably remember reading about it, and now you've seen something of it. The reason it affected us directly was because when they told us the roads were open and we could get to Boone, North Carolina, don't believe it. We went down, Richard and I talked about this, we went down Highway 341 going from Elizabethton, Tennessee, trying to get to Boone, and it was blocked, even though the state police said it was open. So we had to curve back around. We called our long-distance IT guy named Alexander Young, and he helped us through that. And while Beth was on the phone with him, I stopped in at a Dollar General store because I assumed that local people would know how to get there. So we found out, go to the Walgreens in Mountain City, take a right, and that'll take you right down to Boone, which it did work. The road we took in had only been open, I don't even know, a day or two or three. It was a lot of washed out areas, and we got behind a good old boy in an old pickup truck and followed him in. Probably would have had a little more trouble if we hadn't been behind him because he knew where he was going. You know how normally when you have a one-lane road, there'll be a light or a flagman or something? Not in North Carolina. You kind of look over the hill and hope nobody's coming, and you ditch off to the right or to the left, and you get around. But we did get there, and this video, the short video that I've shown, was all about Western North Carolina and the difficulties they've had and are still having. Some people have asked me, when you do shoeboxes, how come you send it overseas all the time? Why don't you send some to the United States? Well, when there is a disaster like that, shoeboxes show up. When the tornadoes hit Mayfield, were shoeboxes that came from Boone back to Mayfield. When there was flooding in eastern Kentucky, it showed up there. So it's available to the extent that there are shoeboxes available. When you have someone who is in the middle of a crisis like that, I think when they have nothing, then one shoebox full of gifts is worth a lot more than anything else you could do. It gets their attention. Just like coming in to help to reconstruct houses got these ladies' attention. So that was the first part. We got there. And then once we got there, what did we do? Well, I've got some still shots of that. We went to church at a church named Alliance Bible Fellowship. It seats about 1,000 people, large parking lot outside, but all over the parking lot were these semi-vans, emergency relief, health, and so forth. So Samaritan's Purse showed up there to help their own people get through that difficult time. Water bottles, stacks of water bottles, wheelbarrows to the roof, stacks of wheelbarrows. As we were driving in, you could see some places that the water had taken roads out, taken houses out, vehicles out. Beth saw one place where there were two buildings and three vehicles all in a whirlpool, and the water was gone, but you could see where the water had been. So it was a very difficult time. Samaritan's Purse was there all around. This is, by the way, if you ever wondered, excuse me, this is their statement of faith. Be glad to show it to you or get you a copy of it if you'd like. It's very similar to what our church is. It says things like the Bible is real, it's true. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. He's been around forever. He's going to be around forever. You can either accept him and live eternal life with God forever, or you can reject him and you can go to hell forever. It's the kinds of things that Orthodox Christianity has taught for 2,000 years, but be glad to show that to anyone who'd like to see it. We're well protected, by the way, at least physically, and I think spiritually as well. A lot of different police departments, both locally and county and state, show up. There are several policemen on duty, but a lot of them, if they're not doing anything else, they jump in and they process shoeboxes. So it's good to see them present as well. This one just shows, well, it does have a sheriff's car in there, but it also shows the thing that always goes along with the Youngs when we take a trip, rain or snow, or both. And this one, we have umbrellas out. Later the next day, it changed to sleet and snow, so we felt right at home. Whether we go to Florida or someplace else, it usually catches us like that. Here's one, reminded me of Clarksville, Tennessee. In the parking lot of our hotel was Aaron Construction, or Aaron Contracting. So we sent it back to Mama Aaron and said, is this yours? And I don't think it was. Right, Aaron? That's not yours. Okay, all right. silent partner. This lady is our boss, one of our bosses. We had several bosses. In fact, it's kind of refreshing to me. When I'm on the farm, I assign projects and tell people what needs to be done next. Excuse me. On this one, I get told what to do next. And this lady is one of the ones who told us what to do. Our favorite job is cut and dump. You take apart boxes and you dump the stuff out and you tear down the boxes and you make those gifts inside the boxes available. Every person we met has a good story. And I won't spend all morning telling you all the stories, but this one was interesting. She and her husband, the husband, by the way, is an IT genius of some sort who worked at one of the largest parts depots for John Deere Company for 13 years. The two of them now, since they have an empty nest, are looking at what to do next. Tammy, which is her name, has dedicated a big part of her house and a big part of her life to packing and shipping shoeboxes. She has two rooms in her house set aside for that. Now, I'm not recommending you do this. In fact, I don't think you should. But for this lady, that's something she has taken on. She processes and packs and ships 2,800 shoeboxes personally. Now, I say personally. She also makes the rounds of nursing homes and schools and places like that and says, here's the stuff. Will you please pack a shoebox? And she gets a lot of the people in the nursing homes and the assisted living and in the schools to put these together so she can take them. And then it's up to her to come up with the $28,000 to ship them. $10 a box times 2,800 boxes is $28,000. So anyway, that's her story. They're getting ready to move to Germany. Since her husband is now retired from the IT department where he worked last, they're looking for something else to do, some kind of a ministry. And he's been offered two jobs, depending on which ones he wants. It's a missionary school for kids who are kids of missionaries, and he has been given the opportunity to either head up their IT department or to teach computer science, whichever ones he wants. So they won't be there next year. They're moving to Germany, it sounds like. This is an idea that I think, and in fact, I have several pictures of different ideas that might give you an idea of what you can do for next year. That's why I brought this all together. This is about the size of a squeezy toy that is appropriate for a shoebox. If you get them too big, there's no room for anything else in the shoebox. But if you see the hand in the right, which is Beth's hand, that's about the right size. All of these items, by the way, have been donated by different corporations, and I'll mention that as we go through. This one was done by some kind of a SeaWorld in Florida, I believe. What's it called? Miami Seaquarium. And when you see a box, it just represents a pallet full of stuff. The volume of material that goes through there to make these hundreds of thousands of boxes is really amazing. This is a sign which designated the 20,000th hand-knitted lamb's wool sweaters that one lady and her friends had made. Just to give you an idea of something that can be done if you're proficient at knitting. Something I never would have thought of, this is a repair kit for jewelry. Some company decided they had a few hundred thousand of these extra that didn't sell or something, and they donated them all to Samaritan's Purse. So our job, Beth's and mine, was to take the plastic off, make it presentable, so they could put them in as fillers in the different shoe boxes that came through. This is an idea of how to organize and present pencils and paper and stickers and whatnot. By the way, you'd be interested to know that we have nobody to apologize to for the quality of the shoe boxes that come out of this church. The packet of school supplies that Lori has put together is as good as anything that's available there from all over the parts of the country that ship things in. And the way that ours are packed and are shipped out are exemplary. Some of them that come in from who knows where don't have much in them, and they need to be filled up. Some of them have way too much in them, and you can't get them closed. So we've got both extremes, but the boxes from this particular church are really good. I don't know how I did that. Here we go. Another idea, hand-knitted toboggans, sock tops, whatever you want to do. If you are proficient at that and have some extra yarn, you can do that. You can package them up in girl packages and boy packages. And this is a little net bag that someone had box after box after box of many of these things and pallets full of them. Rows upon rows of what I would call a tote, which is a container 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet. Over there, David, they call them Gaylords. Now, why they call them that, I don't know. But it would be what I would call a tote. And this particular package, if you see, has three scripture verses on it, as well as the things inside. So there's just the variety is endless, whatever you come up with yourself. This is a tote, sitting over to Beth's right. And just row upon row upon row of these things, tremendous amount of material that goes into there. You might think that a blank piece of paper and a pencil was worth nothing, but you have people who can sit, a lot of them in wheelchairs. You can have someone wheeled in there in a wheelchair and they're working away at a big stack of paper and some pencils, and they turn it into something that's useful for someone in Africa. Our whole week was spent sending gifts to children in Madagascar. But there are over 100 nations that receive gifts. These are examples of cute things and cuddly things that are too big, in my opinion. You see the little things there. These were donated by PetSmart. You got dog toys. And apparently they didn't sell, or there were too many of them or something, so they donated all these things. I'm sure to get a tax deduction mark or something. I don't know what. But anyway, if they're that big, you don't really have any room for anything else in there. So I would recommend smaller, cute things. This was my favorite sewing kit in all of them. Can you imagine a little girl who doesn't have needle, doesn't have threads, has clothes that needs to be mended, and getting a package like that? I don't know where she got it, where the person got it, but it's got everything you can imagine. Scissors, needle, threads, buttons, all kinds of things. It's really a neat gift. Oh, here we go. Watch this and I'll tell you about it. Okay, the reason I showed that is just to let you know the feel of it. It's what a farmer would call, it looks like maggots in a meat barrel. It's kind of, everybody's going here and there and doing their own little thing, but every single person out there has been given a bite-sized job that they do over and over and over. We were given bite-sized jobs. We did it over and over and over. And I commented to Beth at one time, I wonder if this is what heaven's going to look like. I don't know. Completely speculation on my part. But, you know, God's in control. He's not going to sit us up there and just have nothing but harps and clouds. I think he's going to have jobs for us to do. At least that's my opinion. I'll find out differently when I get there, Richard. We'll see. But I believe that's the way it is. Everybody there had a function. They were all doing it well with good attitudes. And the final result would be that hundreds of thousands, in fact, nationwide, millions of kids will be given gifts and also a presentation of the gospel, which is the whole purpose for doing it in the first place. Well run. It's a well organized, well run. And by the way, the Boone, North Carolina center is the smallest of the 8 centers that are nationwide. The nationwide goal is to send out 10 to 12 million boxes. At the point, well, I'll show you here later. There's some more big gifts, real cute, real cuddly. Where did these come from? Ty, like the Beanie Baby. Does it say that on there? Okay. I would recommend something smaller than that. These are hand-knitted or crocheted. I don't know the difference, I'm afraid. But anyway, these are done by hand. People just have time. Have a little material, they'd like to do something better than themselves, and they give this toward the shoe boxes. There's a cute one. What is that? What did it start out as? It's a sock. You take a sock, and a magic marker and a little bit of thread and some stuffing, and all of a sudden you've got either a cat or a rabbit or a something, whatever that is. What is it? A rabbit. You got a rabbit. This was neat. I like this. There were lots and lots of uninflated soccer balls, footballs, with a pump-up next to it. And that seems to me like if I were a kid in my teens or even earlier than that, I would be worth gold. You know, I would love to have something like that. I never got one when I was a kid. But I suspect whoever receives that will be a happy fellow. Watch this. So what's he doing? He's checking for something that shouldn't be there. I didn't ask the guy, but I have asked in years past, and they check for everything from drugs to alcohol to explosives to something. And the dog picks up on that. Believe it or not, if you've ever studied a dog who is a search and rescue kind of a dog or a police dog, they want to find something because when they find something, they're given a treat. So the fact that he's not finding something is disappointing to him. He's actually looking for the bad stuff to find. Here he is coming up the other side. Yeah. Good point. For all you dog lovers, this dog weighs 75 pounds, and all he gets for a full 24-hour day is 2 cups of kibbles. The handler said that if he can't see his ribs, he's too fat. And he wants him active and energetic. So it's interesting to go along with it. This may look like a Lego kit that William might have to put together an airplane, but that is a picture on the side of the wall, if I can just expand it. That's not a kit at all. That's a real plane. A lot of these boxes go out in containers onto ships, which go across, and some of them go out in planes. And this is the Samaritan's Purse plane, and they're getting ready to load those boxes on. Now, that's just a picture of a picture, but you get the idea. They ship them any way they can. Another way to package school supplies. We've got this one organized by boy, pencil pack. So, you know, your ingenuity is the only limit. This is another little sewing kit, which you take an old case, which used to have your eyeglasses in it, fill it full of sewing stuff, snap it shut, and it's ready to go. This is one of Beth's favorites. I thought they were kind of gaudy myself. They're cute and squeezy and cuddly, and what can I say? These were homemade. These didn't come from China. Somebody had a little material, a lot of ingenuity. The lady here is originally from California, now lives in North Carolina. Her son has a homestead area in Tennessee somewhere. So a lot of different places around the country come together to help us access her. I'll explain this in a minute. That young actress was Beth. The whole point of that is that you can put too much stuff in a box and it's really difficult to get it processed when you're doing thousands and thousands and thousands. There was one lady across the line from me. Our first day was spent on the line, as it's called there, and then the rest of the time was cut and dump. She worked on that thing, I bet, 60 seconds, trying to get it all squashed down in there and closed and squeezed, and finally somebody had to help her get it together. So it's great to fill them, but just don't overfill them. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, my job was to squeeze them together and put tape around each one of them. And after you do 500 or 600, of squeezing those things together, it hurts right here. Another story. These are some things that you should not put in. Anything edible, candy canes, suckers, even chewing gum, forbidden. You cannot put those in. Also, anything liquid, toothpastes, you see all the, these are all being put in a box that's called inappropriate items. Now, it can include anything that's not allowed to be sent overseas, but these particularly, they're not thrown away. They're actually used to go through to different missions that are handled locally, North Carolina, orphanages, anybody you can think of that might make use of them, they're redistributed. Here's a really interesting, first time I'd ever seen this before. Somebody had sent in a bunch of unsold, been sitting on the shelf forever, yo-yos. And they were so old that the strings were no good. So the job of some of the people who were seated at the tables was to take off the old string and put on a new string. You see how they sent the string? Somebody had the foresight to tangle all the strings up and make it interesting for the people to put them back together. Don't do that. If you're going to do it, either straighten the strings out or put the string on yourself. It's just, they did get it done. There's the finished product. You know, box after box after box. Thousands, hundreds and thousands of yo-yos. And guess what? The kids on the other end will love them. I never had one. I finally got one when I was in high school when I could afford it. But I think a, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid would love those things. All right, this kind of wraps it up. We were there for 4 days. By the end of that 4 days, that particular processing center, by the time we left, had done 498,601 boxes. They were sorted through, organized, put in a form that could be sent directly overseas, wrapped up, inspected by the dog, and put on containers, which went on trucks, which went to ships. 498,000 of them for that 4 day period that we spent. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. We always enjoy it. It, for our age, though, a 4 hour shift is about all we want to do. I'll tell you that. And they work with us really well on how long the shifts are. For some of the youngsters who are there, the high school and college age, you know, they might work 8 or 10 hours. We don't. We just go till we're tired and then we go take a nap. So it's still accomplishing something. It's kind of a working vacation in which you do something for somebody else rather than just sit and soak. So it's something to do. Now, that's part number one, which is the flood and the roads. Part number two was the processing. Part number three is part of Samaritan's Purse also that Beth and I have been getting acquainted with for the last, I don't know, 10 years maybe, something like that. It's called Children's Heart Project. This little bear was given to us. See the name, Children's Heart Project? There are kids all around the world who have heart defects. Not a lot as far as a percentage goes, but there are enough of them that if they don't get surgery, they die. Now, in the United States, there are so many different pediatric cardiologists and surgeons that the kids in the United States are pretty well taken care of. But you go to other countries, most of the countries around the world do not have anybody who can take care of them. They tell the parents, your child has a heart problem, we cannot help, your child's going to die. That's what they're told. Children's Heart Project, through Samaritan's Purse, has been able to help some of those children get hearts so that they can live healthy, normal lives. And that's what this is all about. These are some of the ones who were helped just last year. I think there were 45 recipients of heart surgery through Samaritan's Purse Heart Project. That's some of them. I couldn't get them all on one picture, so I took the other half down here. And I'm bringing this to your attention for prayer, if nothing else. But these are the two that Beth and I are going to help in 2024 and 25, both from Bolivia. One's named Amelia, one's named Julio. And I have a short video to close out. This will be the end of the presentation about the Children's Heart Project in Bolivia.
Most of these families feel like their child is going to have a death sentence because they've been told there's no hope. So this project brings hope to many.
Samaritan's Purse's Children's Heart Project, from start to finish, starts with our screening. These kids that are enrolled in our program, they all have congenital heart defects of various types. The screening process is very detailed, ensuring that the files that we send to our partner surgeons and hospitals are accurate. They receive a chest x-ray, laboratory results, ECG, and we also get their immunization records to get the full picture of what these kids' diagnosis is.
My name is Jimmy Liu. I'm a pediatric cardiologist. I've been volunteering with Children's Heart Project for several years now. I get to meet the families, I examine the patients, do an echocardiogram to make sure we have all the information that we need prior to an operation or a catheterization. I think she's a great candidate for our project. And I think once she has this device placed, she'll be able to live a completely normal life.
Titos me dijo, mamá, me van a curar, ya voy a estar sana y voy a poder correr con mi hermano. Me dijo, sí, vas a poder estar bien ya.
Tengo las esperanzas de que mi hija va a estar bien. Confío en la doctora Priscila, que mi hija se me va a curar.
Creo que la palabra de gracias queda muy corta a lo que hacen. No solamente por mí, sino por muchos más niños, por muchas más familias.
Just the ability to be present here and to be able to spend just those extra minutes of this is what's going on and answering the questions that they have, I mean, that's a gift.
Todos los días creo que surgen dudas y preguntas, entonces tener confianza, tener tranquilidad, que todas las respuestas a mis preguntas sean dadas. Y aquí lo estoy encontrando, ¿no?
Después cuando todo se da en mi corazón, voy a poner toda mi vida feliz con mi hermano.
So we come around and share Christ's love during this most critical moment in their lives. I've seen over and over again, this is the moment, the defining moment in their lives they remember forever. They remember their relationships with the doctors, what Samaritan's Purse did, what our staff did, and this is what God uses to reveal himself to them.
Bueno, me siento feliz porque sé que mi hija ya va a volver sana. Es como un milagro para mí que les ha mandado Dios. Y va a estar conmigo siempre. Muchas gracias.
Okay, that's the end of my presentation. Seemed like there was one other thing I was going to say before I open it up for questions. Senior moment. Sorry about that. It may come to me. But do you have any questions that I can answer on any of these?
Was Franklin Graham able to be there this year?
Didn't see Franklin. Saw one of his sons in a distance. I think Franklin was either out of town or really busy with different projects. Samaritan's Purse has so many different, I hate to say tentacles, but arms that go into a lot of different parts, some of which we never even hear of. So I did not see him this year. Saw a lot of other nice people. It's a good group. We enjoyed being there with them. I'm not even sure, to tell you the truth. It seems like maybe the 1990s. I think, even though it doesn't come to mind completely, I believe Franklin, son of Billy Graham, was a rebellious young man. And he really didn't think much of ministry or anything else. But he tied in with the guy who started World Vision. Can't remember his name, Ted something or other. And it was through his mentorship that Franklin actually saw the bigger picture. And that was when he said, you know, to get people's attention, you're going to have to reach them where they are. And there are some needs out there that are not being met. And I'm not sure what year it was, but I believe that's when he was first got it started. And it's grown phenomenally ever since. And as I said before at the beginning, I hope I'm not just pushing Samaritan's Purse because I'm not. It just happens to be the one we're most familiar with. There are hundreds of other organizations run by solid Christian people who do different things, like the one in Alaska. Samaritan's Purse is present in Alaska, just as Johnny and Friends is present in Alaska. And so I'm not by any means saying, you know, this is the only thing you can do. There's amazing number of different organizations that you can work with. Anything else? Oh, yeah, people all around. The order, the pecking order over there is blue shirt is the boss of the green shirt. Green shirt is the boss of the yellow shirts, and the yellow shirts tell us what to do. But a lot of the blue shirts and the green shirts and the yellow shirts regularly go overseas. The ones we visited with in the last couple of years have gone to Mongolia. There is a heart clinic in Mongolia, and I think I've shared with some kids from Mongolia who were healed as a result of that. But, yeah, each time one of the kids goes, are you talking about heart or are you talking about?
I was talking about shoeboxes, but heart is good.
Both of them, yeah. They all require somebody who's a medical expert to be along for the heart. For as far as sending the shoeboxes and handing them out, yeah, we have visited. I think last year or the year before, I worked right alongside for a couple of days with a young man, well, younger than I am, but he's not quite young. He was, his career was, he was a higher-up administrator with UPS. When he retired from that, he and his wife got into shoebox processing, and he had gone to the Dominican Republic. And he was most impressed with just how available the people were once they had a gift. Proverbs says, you know, when you give somebody a gift and they listen to you. That's a farmer paraphrase, but that's basically what he was saying. So, yeah, there are a lot of people that we work with who have gone to a lot of different countries around the world as part of this bigger organization. Okay, we're kind of running out of time. So why don't we just close in prayer, and then I'm going to get the musicians. In fact, why don't you guys just kind of gather up here now, and then we'll pray, and then you can play Silent Night to say goodbye to Christmas and hello to next year, and we'll be dismissed. Oh, you know who that was. She said, who translated Silent Night from German to English? His name was John Young. But that's not why we're singing it. Thank you, Beth. Honorable mention to somebody. Okay. If you would, join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us all around the world and here too. Pray you'd be with Dan to heal him and those others who are ill. And pray that you would heal them, get them back to health soon. Help us to honor you as we enter the new year. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed, and you can listen or go, depending on what you need to do. Thank you.